This 50th anniversary year, and we're looking at 1 Corinthians in the evening, looking at the dangers that face the New Testament church. Just about everything you can think of is found in the book of 1 Corinthians. This was the first series I preached 37 and a half years ago in the evening service at Falls, and so second time fully back around on it, and it is so up to date. Chapter 7, if you'll look there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We have now spent several sessions in this chapter. And this is a chapter answering questions, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. You find that in verse 1. And it deals first of all with the matter of marriage and singleness and the right attitudes toward that. And just to summarize that, he said it's important for you to be married, especially in the day and age in which they lived. And then he says, but singleness is something that God can give as a gifting. And normally you will be married, basically. But if God's called you to be single, and we talked about the fact that singleness should not be for selfish reasons. It should be because you're following God's will. Then we looked at the matter of marriage and the problems they had, all kinds of different types of marriages. It was in the pagan world, it was just horrible. I won't go into all the ins and outs again. But the matter of unbelieving spouses and marriages that weren't really civil marriages and all of this. And the real issue here is stay married. And if, even if your spouse is an unbeliever, if they leave, well, you can't go running around the country after them. But then it talks about you still remain unmarried. So that's a very, very interesting, and I've only given you just a very quick summation of it. And then we go to an interesting little paragraph that I want to look at just for a few minutes here tonight, starting in verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is there any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Danger, dissatisfaction with the situation that we find ourselves in. Well, that's up to date, isn't it? As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we find ourselves oftentimes in predicaments, situations we don't particularly like. Well, the old proverbial grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Cartoonist, I've talked about this before, it has appeared in the newspaper, showing two fields divided by a fence. Both fields were about the same size. Each had plenty of the same kind of grass, green and lush. And in each field there was a mule, and each mule had his head through the fence, eating grass from the other mule's pasture. All around each mule in its own field was plenty of grass, yet the grass in the other field seemed greener or fresher, although it was harder to get. And in the process, the mules were caught in the wires and were unable to extricate themselves. And it was titled Discontent. It's a very good cartoon because, unfortunately, we look at something else thinking that would be a better situation for us. And we are told to be content, which is a very, very important spiritual reality in our life that God wants. Morris says, Paul turns from marriage to the wider question of living contentedly in whatever state God has set us. Contentment is realizing that God has already provided everything we need for our present happiness. Let me just say this up front. No situation should keep you from having that relationship that God has paid dearly for you to be able to have and to have the joy and peace and contentment and happiness that comes from knowing him. Some of the most contented people in the world, you would say, are living in some of the most atrocious conditions. But they have learned to be content in whatever state they are. So this is for a very materialistic church, for a church that had a lot of love for status, love for position, clearly wrong perspective on giftings, and all of this was part of what we'll even be looking at here. This was very needful for them, and I think, frankly, is for us. So I'm going to make it very simple today. We'll look at just 2 points. Number one, contentment with our circumstances. Look at verse 17 again. But if God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. So this is very clear. This is important for every church to understand this. So we need to understand that God has allowed our circumstances. God has distributed every man. God has called everyone. Let him walk in that. You know, you didn't choose what family you were born in. There are situations that have come upon you, but there's a God that loves you. And this is where sovereignty is used in the right way. He is in charge of everything. He is coordinating everything. And he is doing it for our good. That is vital to understand when you get into situations you just don't like at the moment. And in fact, this matter of walk, you notice it's used here. We need to walk within the realm of the circumstance that we're in. I oftentimes quote from Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You were saved by grace through faith. You walk by grace through faith. And so God will grace us. God will enable us. God will strengthen us as we continue to walk with him, whatever circumstance at that moment that we find ourselves in. God is not like Henry Higgins in Pygmalion that taught phonetics. You may know about this. On a wager, he accepts the task of remaking Eliza Doolittle from a poor street vendor into a sophisticated lady. Higgins sees Eliza merely as an object of his workmanship, not a person with feelings. She offers a means to prove his skill and up his status. It doesn't matter what her individual dreams and fears would be. When the project is finished, he shows no concern for her future. He has proved his point, regardless how it affects Liza forever after that. That's not God. He doesn't use us that way. Sometimes when I use the term, I don't want that to be misunderstood. When we say God wants to use us, it's not in that negative way. We have the great privilege of being empowered by him to accomplish his will. But he does not allow us to go through things to prove something and not to have our good in the end. He is totally the opposite of that situation. And so the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul says, now God's allowed these different situations. Now walk in these, and he's going to describe them in just a minute. But it's very important that we walk by the grace of God and not let that hinder our spiritual walk. And so we're really right here to surrender. Surrender to walk uprightly in those circumstances. We just had the service for my dear mother-in-law, and during the last week and a half, my wife was doing everything she could to try to see my mother-in-law be able to rally and so forth. And her brother came, Brother Blanton came, and they spent 6 days together there in the hospital. And he kept saying over and over to her, surrender, surrender. This God is working. There's nothing we can do. We're giving her the best care, not removing anything. But this is something you've got to surrender to this circumstance. And God knows what he's doing, and you just sense the peace of God, the presence of God. He does it right. Now we look back, and honestly, every piece came together perfectly by God's tender hand. He's a loving father. He doesn't mess around with you. I don't care what kind of background you had. Our God is a father that's perfect, and you can trust him. Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And so we need to walk by faith. It doesn't matter what circumstance we are in. So the simple second point, we'll spend most of our time on this here, and that is continue in those circumstances. Simple. That's what it says, okay? Let's look at verse 18. If any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. And it goes on down, and look at verse 20, and I'm going to come back and talk about this. Let every man abide, remain in the same calling wherein he was called. We are to abide in God's will, in his calling. And so it deals here with an unusual situation. The Jews, of course, if they were following Judaism, were circumcised according to the law. And the Gentiles were not circumcised. And he is saying here that those that are circumcised don't become uncircumcised. And that actually was a possibility in their minds in that day. And then if you are uncircumcised, being a circumcision, as Galatians makes it very clear, does not sanctify you. By the way, if ever you need a passage that clearly says the church is not Israel, here it is. Okay? Because what was the entrance into the covenant for every male in Israel? Circumcision. And so very clearly it doesn't have anything to do with our relationship with God in regard to walking by faith and living in his favor. The church was not to be initiated by circumcision. And folks, infant baptism is not a substitute for circumcision. But here, clearly, we don't need that. And so you see, when you impose Israel onto the church and make the church spiritual Israel, you run into all kinds of problems. And I won't go back over that, but this is just an interesting perspective here. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping, the depending upon, the holding to of the commandments, that which God has given to us of God. And so what matters today is what God has taught us how to live, how to walk by faith, what God has done through Christ for us. That is what matters. So abide in the same calling. Don't try to change things. Don't get off on that. And that was an issue at that time. And then let's go on the other side of verse 20. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, for if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Now, this is rather explosive for this time. He's writing to a church in which there were people that were owned by people. Bond slaves is what this is talking about. Now, this is getting down to where the rubber meets the road. This is getting down to where things are really, really difficult. And so he says here, if you are a slave, do not be anxious about it. Do not allow yourself to feel that you have to change that at any cost. Now, if you can be made free, do it. Real practical advice. If that's a possibility, there is nothing spiritual about staying a human slave. Okay? Except for, if that's be used for the furtherance of the gospel, such as the Moravian brethren that went to the islands and actually became slaves to reach those that were in the slave camps there. But in other words, there's nothing spiritual about being a slave. You say, well, that sounds sort of ridiculous that they would think that. It was beginning to happen in the New Testament era that martyrs and those that were suffering for Christ were highly admired. And actually some people, especially after this time, began to actually do things to suffer when they really didn't need to, or put themselves in a place in which it looked like they were having situations that were because they were really great Christians. So he's just saying, if you're a slave, don't get all anxious about it. Understand, God's allowed you to be a slave. If you're able to get free, go for it. That's modern 21st century, 21st century language. So that's what he is saying there. And then, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. And likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Now, what he's trying to say is, let's get our thinking right. If you're a slave, in Christ, you're free. So you don't be living in that aura that you're in this awful slavery. And believe me, it wasn't fun. But he said, in Christ, you're free. And so live in your spirit as though you were free. But freemen, how are they supposed to live according to that verse? As though they were a slave. Whose slave? Christ's slave. Paul, of course, in a number of his epistles begins them, Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. So much is our attitude. It depends upon how we view ourselves and what we understand about ourselves. Ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. In other words, don't let yourself be beaten down in that situation. Now, you can imagine in that day, this was very radical for the Christians, because they're sitting in the same auditorium or meeting house or home, masters and slaves together, and yet they were equal in Christ. And so if you have a discontentment, you're going to have an uprising. But if you're content in your position and just trusting God to work out the circumstances and realizing that God's going to use it for good, that means you'll have harmony. Do you see how that potentially could be a church problem? Big time a church problem. And so there needed to be an appreciation for one another. We're all free in Christ, but we're all bond slaves to Christ, and we need to have a free spirit, a freedom of spirit, is a better way to say it, in our lives. And so we are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therefore abide with God. Now here's the secret. My second point is simply abide in God's presence. Folks, when we are living in the presence of God, we're in good shape. You know, there can be a lot of circumstances you don't like, but you're the one imprisoning yourself with that circumstance. If you realize that God's allowing it, and God's going to use it, and God will work you through it, and God will give you wisdom, and that God, that you're free in your heart, and you can walk with Him, the Bible makes it very clear here that you need to abide in God, and just living in His presence. Here you are at the throne of God. Doesn't matter what circumstance you're in, you're okay. I've said so many times, a person who's meeting with God is okay. I don't care what I'm going through. When I sense the presence of God, I'm okay. He's got this thing under control. He loves me. I understand again who I am in Christ. He gives freedom. He gives peace. He gives direction. You give a sense of purpose. And there's just glory no matter what you find yourself having to navigate at that time. And so if, as John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I've kept my Father's commandments, here's the Lord Jesus saying this, and abide in his love. So when we see these principles and believe them and understand what he's taught us, we will abide and remain in his love. And I'm telling you, when you're in the presence of God, it's an amazing thing. Over and over, I have read of prisoners in very difficult situations, from the prisons in China to Myanmar. Of course, you have the Nazi situation with Corrie Ten Boom and others like that, and on you go. And you find one thing that is a theme all the way throughout. I could bear it because I had the very real presence of God with me. In fact, those were some of the best and hardest days at the same time in my life. I've said it so many times, but when I was with those folks in the Soviet Union, they had just gotten out of prison, and I've never seen people glow like they did. And they would laugh with one another. You remember when God did that, and God met with me here, and just being joyful, and what a privilege they had to serve the Lord in prison. And it's just for us in the Western world, it was mind-blowing, because they were in Siberia, and yet counting it a privilege. Well, when God's with you, it's okay. Friends, if you're in a difficult circumstance, don't try to get out of it unless it's God's leading you to get out of it the right way, for the right purpose. But don't be discontent. Go to God. Work there in that situation to find out what's holding you back from knowing the presence of God and what issues in your life need to be settled. And you will find great contentment and peace when you are in that union with Him. You remember back, how many remember the front seat being a bench seat? Okay, well, we've got a few folks left, okay. I don't think, Trey, you remember that. Sorry about that. But it goes back a ways. And so, of course, in those days, couples would, it was very dangerous because the girl would be right there, you know, and that's just the way it was. But then, of course, the joke would always be, as they got married, things would change. And a married couple was riding along. They'd been married many years, and the wife sat at one end of the seat and the husband at the other end behind the steering wheel. The wife asked, "Why can't we sit close together like we did when we were just shortly after we were married?" And he just simply said, "I ain't moved." Well, in a much different way, hasn't moved. We're on the other end of the bench. We don't like what He's let happen in our life. We don't like the job we have. We don't think it's fair, the situation we find ourselves in. We don't, we're frustrated about maybe some issues physically or financially that have come into our lives, or just unique relationships with people that are very uncomfortable. And we move down the bench. Listen, that's the worst thing in the world to do. You need to get back right into that close relationship with the Lord. And when that happens, it's okay. It's just okay. And so he very clearly, very simple, these points. Brethren, let every man, wherein he's called, whatever God's allowed you to be in, abide with God. So you have two abides there. Abide in the calling and abide in the presence of God. And God will bless. It's never circumstances, folks, that brings quality of life. It is our relationship with God.